Okay. I'd love to say this. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James in the New Testament. I love to say that for a few reasons, because we are going to expose ourselves, one, to God's holy word as he speaks to us from scripture. That's one reason I love to say that. Another reason is because we are God's people, and God's people want to know more of what God says and what it means by what it says. This is also a time of fellowship, one with another, as we honor God's word in his church, the Lord's church. And just to stand in this pulpit designated for the sole purpose of preaching and teaching God's word is a blessing to me. It's a blessing. And I love to shepherd you as God's people with God's holy word. I love to say, please take your Bibles and turn with me to a portion of scripture on Sunday mornings for those reasons. This Sunday morning, we will give our attention to the book of James, chapter 1, looking at verses 19 through 25. My prayer is this portion of scripture will be a blessing to you, and we have a promise in our text, actually, that it will be. It will be a blessing to the people of God's word. For the true believer, God's word is a precious possession, as we are God's precious possession. We are his people. We learned that last Sunday. The characteristic of a true believer is love for God's word. I see that often, Sunday mornings and Wednesdays, people just gravitate, want to hear more of God's word, and are blessed by it. True Christians are impacted by the word of God more, actually, than anything else. And for those reasons, proclaiming God's word to you is a blessing for both of us. The people of God's word are blessed by God's word, because God's people understand the Bible is God speaking. The Bible is God speaking. The Apostle Paul mentioned that very fact, writing to the church at Thessalonica, the Christians there, God's people there. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." I'm a man, but I am a newspaper boy. I'm just proclaiming God's word. I have no authority, but the authority is in scripture. And when I read scripture, I'm reading God speaking. It's powerful. This is how the people of God's word approach the Holy Bible. They listen to it, they hear it as if God is talking, and he is. The Lord has promised to bless his people, saved by his grace, for his glory, for his own possession, to hear, understand, and apply what he says as he speaks from his word recorded in Holy Scripture. Even so, in our exposition of James, the Christians who applied God's word as they responded in faith to various outward trials were blessed. They took James's instruction and they applied it to their outward trials, and they were blessed because James 1:12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." The people of God's word who applied God's word as they resist in faith the various inward temptations were also blessed, recorded in James 1:16 and 17. "Be not deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing bestowed, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." Look how blessed you are. Look at all what God has given you. Focus on what he has given you and not what he has not given you. In our text from God's word this morning that characterizes the people of God's word are blessed also. God said, and notice the very last verse that we're going to look at in our exposition this morning, the end of verse 25, "This man shall be blessed in what he does." There's blessings all through scripture applying God's word. We're going to look at this morning. As God's people, let's hear God speak from his holy word this morning as I read James, now chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. This is our text. This you know, my beloved brethren, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doer of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of a person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. Stop right there. Notice the beginning of verse 19. It says, this you know, my beloved brethren, this you know. Or better, you have experienced this. What he has already said, true about trials and temptations and salvation, what he's about to say, the word of God. They know this because James calls them my beloved brethren. They are beloved of God because he saved them, and they're beloved of James because like them, he too is saved and loves them as brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, you know this, what I've said, what I'm about to say, because you're Christians. You're my beloved brethren. James' affection for them is equally as strong as his obligation to them. And I understand that. That's a pastor's heart. Someone once wisely said, people will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? James wanted them to know this truth because he loved and cared for them. And he calls them my beloved brethren. He calls them that. He says, this you know. You know this. Why? Because you're saved. You just got through talking about salvation. James is encouraging the Christians now to properly receive and respond to the word of God now that they are already saved. Just like they did when they got saved, the word of God continues to be the agent, the means to produce a faith that works out what God has worked in. Not just the positional righteousness, by the way, the robed righteousness of Jesus Christ, that imputed righteousness, but a living, practical righteousness, not to be saved, but because they are saved. We don't do what we do to be saved. We do what we do because we are saved. Right? Like false religions out there, they do what they do to be right with whatever God they're trying to earn brownie points or work salvation and gain favor with whatever deity they've come up with. But we do what we do because we are saved, not to be saved. James says, this you know. Any righteousness practiced in the Christian life is expressed because salvation has already taken place. We are now living by faith, not to receive faith, but because of faith. This we know. So let me just give you a point number one to hang your thoughts on. Here's point number one. The humble seeker is a careful listener to the word of God. The humble seeker is a careful listener to the word of God. In your bulletin, there's a place you can write in these notes if you would like. Let me read the rest of verse 19 to you. It says, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Verse 19, think about this. This is how you got saved as I looked at this. Quick to hear. By the work of the Holy Spirit, the gospel grabbed your attention and convicted your heart. Slow to speak. You didn't know what to say, but yes, you're right. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And you really weren't sure what to say, but you knew you needed Jesus as Savior and Lord and for the forgiveness of sins. And so slow to anger, instead of rejecting, resisting, and fighting like you did your whole life against the truth toward your own sin, now you're crying out to God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Your anger then, all of a sudden, now turned to joy. The word of God did that. The word of God did that. James is emphasizing this. This you know, like you got saved. This is how you got saved. You were quick to hear the gospel. You shut your mouth and said, whoa, whoa, I don't know what to say. I just need to have my sins forgiven. And the anger that was once there was all gone. So he's saying, continue the same way. This you know. The humble seeker is a careful listener to God's word. We must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. This is in regards to receiving God's word. Let me just look at them for just a minute. Quick to hear is to be a careful listener. Quick to hear. What? Let me discern that. Let me be quick to hear. To pay close attention to get the message right, which takes attention and concentration. James appeals for believers to seize every opportunity to increase their exposure to hearing God's word. To take every opportunity and advantage to read God's word, to hear it faithfully preached and taught. Be quick to hear. True believers are marked by such a pursuit. We go to Bible study, we go to church. Why? We want to hear. We want to hear God's word. When we are faced with difficult trials that demand wisdom and strength from God's word, the word provides the answers. When we face temptations that test us to the limit, the word of God supplies the power to resist them. And that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 119:11, thy word have I treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you. It helps us to overcome outward trials and inward temptations. The word of God is our most welcome friend because it not only delivers us from trials and temptations, but also engages us in communion with the living God. And I think that such communion is the desire of every true believer, right? A true believer will be eager to attend Bible preaching and study so that his heart and mind can again be exposed to God's truth. She or he will be eager on the Lord's day to fellowship with the brothers and sisters in Christ and to worship the Lord. Notice verse 19, another phrase there, slow to speak. The idea is you can't listen carefully while you are talking or even while you're thinking about what to say in response to what you've heard. Sometimes God's word is being proclaimed, God's word is being exposited, you hear God's word, but you got all this noise going on in your head, you can't really hear what God is saying. In this context, the idea is slow to speak includes being careful not to be thinking about one's own thoughts and ideas, but instead trying to carefully listen and assimilate what God is saying to you from his word. In other words, we can't really hear God's word when our minds are busy and full of our own thoughts. People too often, too quickly disagree, reject, and try to refute the word of God even before they fully understand what God is saying. Isn't that something? We need to keep silent on the inside as well as the outside. A humble seeker is a careful listener. Notice verse 19 again. Slow to anger, he says. Anger is a very natural emotion that is an all but automatic response, even for believers who are not spiritually prepared for anything, anyone that crosses or displeases them. I've counseled with people and I've read the Bible and they said, I don't agree with that. I believe this. I said, I just read your verse in the Bible. You're not disagreeing with me, you're disagreeing with God. Now you're standing in authority. You're a self-appointed authority standing over God's word, judging God's word. Where'd you get that authority from? They're just too quick to respond. Too quick. Actually, the Greek word orge, meaning anger there, does not refer to an explosive outburst of temper, but to an inner, a deep resentment that seethes and smolders, often unnoticed by others. They hear the word of God and they just start boiling up inside, and I don't agree with that, and I don't like that. And it refers to a disposition hostile to scriptural truth when it does not correspond to one's own convictions, manifest even only inwardly against those who faithfully teach God's truth. Paul said in Galatians 4:16, so I have become your enemy by telling you the truth? I'm just telling you the truth. Now you make me your enemy. This is how we receive the word of God. We're a careful listener. We're humble, careful listeners. We're quick to hear. We don't want to speak too fast about what we've heard. We want to let it simulate. We don't want to get angry about what we've heard. Notice verse 20 now. It says, "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Mere personal anger, a bitterness, a resentment can never serve the cause of Christ. That is, it does not accomplish what is right in God's eyes. This anger does. That is especially true when hostility is against the truth of God's word. Think about that. For that in reality is hostility against God himself, because God is the one speaking. The humble seeker is a careful listener. So the humble seeker is quick to submit, to hear, slow to speak, but submissive to the authority of God's word. Slow to anger, submitting even when it goes against one's reasons, experiences, philosophies, and errant beliefs. Saying, "I will go to Scripture with an open mind, listening, discerning, allowing God's word to sink in, and shedding any bad baggage that is contradictory to God's word." This is a heart attitude of humility to Scripture. It's bowing to Scripture. It's submitting to Scripture. That's what you say, "God, I believe that." It's not, "Well, this is what I believe." The question is, what does God's word say? What does God's word say? If what you believe contradicts God's word, then what you believe is wrong. It's what did God's word say? I've had many people tell me, "This is what I believe, I believe." I said, "Well, that contradicts God's word. So what you believe is wrong." And I'll quote them a verse, "Well, I don't believe that." And they'll even get angry. And they're quick to tell me, because they weren't listening to what God was saying. Well, God's people are completely different from that. That's the actual response of an unbeliever. What I've described to you speaks of a believer as being teachable, pliable, conformable to God's word. This person doesn't think he's arrived. Actually, no one's arrived, whether you think that or not. He doesn't think he's arrived. He wants to hear and learn and grow. He's a humble seeker. The word of God is to be approached with humility. He's listening, seeking truth from God's word. Well, look at verse 21. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." He says, therefore, based on what I just said. And he means, without humility, no one ever is going to be saved. Without humility, no one is ever going to be saved. In humility, receive the word, the one which is able to save your souls. You know why? Because in James 4, 6, God is opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, just like you did when you got saved by the word of God, humility, continue in faith and repentance. Listen, repentance is not a one-time act or a one-time event in the Christian life at the moment of salvation. Yes, salvation is, and faith and repentance are gifts given by God at that moment of salvation. But now, repentance, like faith, continues to be active in the born-again Christian. It's the character of his life. We live by faith every day. We also live by repentance every day. It is our character. We're kind of always in repent mode. Every time we sin, doesn't it bother you? Well, that happened at the moment of salvation. And it continues all through your Christian life. But we have a promise in 1 John 1:9. If we can confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James is saying, like in Hebrews 12:1, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. James says that in verse 21, putting aside all that remains, this filthiness and this remains of wickedness. Those two words in James 21 are very interesting when you study them out, as I had to and I wanted to. All filthiness is a translation of the Greek word ruparia. And it can be used for the filth which soils clothes or the soils the body. But it has one very interesting connection when I looked at it in other places in the Bible. It's a derivative of the word rupos. And when rupos is used in a medical sense, it means wax in the ear. Kind of fits the text, doesn't it? It means wax in the ear. Illustration. There was a deaf lady who went to the doctor to get a hearing aid. When the doctor checked her ears, they were stuffed full with earwax. So she couldn't hear. So you don't need a hearing aid, you just need to clean your ears out, lady. When wax gathers in the ear, it can make a man deaf. And man's sins can make him deaf to God and his word. Can do that. James is saying, listen, we got to bust out some Q-tips. We need to clean out our ears. We need to look at our life and say, what is in my life that's hindering hearing God's word? I'm not really hearing it. Also, verse 21, it reads, and all that remains of wickedness. There's another interesting Greek word, this surplus, this abundance of wickedness, this abounding, the remains, he says. James says, you got to lay it aside, putting aside. You gotta literally strip it off, drop it. You gotta drop it. The word is used in the New Testament as previous pagan habits. When you look at it, when the Bible uses this, Paul using it to the church, talking to Christians, he's referring to their previous pagan habits that they gotta shed now that they're Christians, or hangovers from your previous life before salvation. You know, we get kind of hangovers. We got bad character traits that we kind of drag along with us after we are saved, even some bad theology that we need to shake that. We've already talked about that. And now there's some bad behavior traits that we kind of drag along from our previous life, like bad language. I know there's some people that if you took a couple words of their vocabulary, they wouldn't even be able to talk. They've just developed such bad language. And when a Christian gets saved, he needs to learn how to not use those words anymore and see how bad and damaging they are. Or hang around bad people. Or subjecting themselves to bad influences. This is what he's talking about. These are like hangovers from your life before salvation. Here's what James is expressing in this verse. When you hear the word of God, don't react too quickly if it doesn't line up with what you have been taught in the past or what you believe. You may be wrong. You may be wrong. Maybe you got some bad baggage you've been carrying around doctrinally. And you got to say, you know what? What I believe is wrong. And you got to have a funeral service for pride and say, I'm going to admit I'm wrong and I'm going to get rid of that bad baggage. Because it's opposed to God's word. Don't get upset if the word of God contradicts what you've believed or what grandma used to teach you or Aunt Bessie or Uncle Fred. You know, they may be wrong too. You need to be quick to hear God's word, even if it contradicts what you've learned in the past. You could be wrong. You could be wrong. You can't say, I don't believe that, when it's the clear teaching of the word of God. Especially when it comes to Christ and salvation, and there hangs the balances of salvation. Don't get upset either if the word of God contradicts or confronts your lifestyle. And exposes sinful behaviors, and it does that. None of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. And the Word of God is like a big spotlight, a magnifying glass. It shines upon us areas that we need to deal with. Not that God needs to see him. He already seen him. He's shown him to you so you can see him. Be a humble seeker who listens carefully to the Word of God. Humble yourselves. Remember, the Word of God was the agent in saving your souls. It was the agent in saving your souls if you're saved. So stay humble. Receive His Word with humility and a willingness to apply what you hear, even if it goes against the grain of what you've always used to believe or the way you're used to living. Humility there in that verse is restrained strength. Restrain voicing opposition to God's word. Restrain getting angry at God's word. Before you can receive the implanted word, the one that can save your soul, just like when you got saved, you got to get rid of the earwax and the bad baggage by seeking forgiveness. I also noticed, and Neil appreciate this, there's a Greek grammar rule that says that an aorist participle, and that is putting aside or having laid aside, must precede the action of the main verb, which is receive. So you got to put aside before you receive. All that means is it's something that must be done prior to the reception of God's word. In other words, the proper reception of God's word is to deal that which is hindering humility and the quick hearing and the vocal reaction and the opposition to God's word. Deal with that so that you can actually hear God speak. Remember how powerful the word of God is. Remember how important it is. Don't try to fool yourself and explain it away. Be quick to hear. Don't respond so fast. I think this. Quiet your mind. Let God speak. Be still and know that I am the Lord, he says. And don't get all riled up when it all exposes sinful habits in your life that you should be got rid of anyway, or something that you don't believe doctrinally. I always thought this. I'm not going to change my view, even though it's not goes against the word of God. What? Notice now verse 22. And this is the heart of the passage. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Someone once asked, is the sermon over? The gentleman replied, the preacher's done, but the sermon is just starting now. Right? Hearing God's word is not the end. It is a means to an end. It's a means to your salvation. It's a means to your sanctification. It's a means to Christ's exaltation and glory, God's glorification. It's what you do after you hear God's word that proves whether you heard God's word. Right? Well, let me go to point number two. So point number two is this. The hopeful student is a concerned learner of God's word. A concerned learner. James says, if you hear his word and act upon it, you can be compared to the wise man who built his house upon the rock, as Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The wise man hears my words and he builds his house upon my words. And when the floods come, the storms of life come and try to shake it, you have a stability because you're founded upon the words of Christ. But the foolish man who doesn't apply God's word, he just builds his house on sand, and when the troubles of life come, these are the ones that do strange things because they don't have the Lord. Notice verse 22 and 23. James uses an analogy of a man looking at a mirror as being foolish and self-deceived who does not apply God's word. In other words, he doesn't learn. That's why. Listen, you can't apply what you don't know. If the word of God is being proclaimed and you hear the word of God or read the word of God, you got all this noise going on in your head, and I don't agree with that, that was against what I believe, and da-da-da-da, and you just start getting upset about it, and you can't apply what you don't know. That it never sunk in. You can't apply what you don't know. And so you're like this guy that goes to the mirror and says, okay, and walks away. No change. Nothing. Let's read those, verse 23 and 24. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. Okay. For once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Notice verse 23. It says, for if anyone, and then it says, then, kind of implied. This is a first class conditional sentence, by the way. It has the if then in it, condition to it. If you just hear, well, then you're just deceiving yourself, is what he's saying. If you just hear, and that's all you do, and you have no intention of applying to what you hear, well, you're just deceiving yourself. And it's bad enough when someone else deceives you, but it's even worse when you deceive yourself. It's the worst kind of deception. That's the if, and the then is, this is what your description looks like to an outside observer. Here's a guy who walks up, his hair's all messed up, his collar's pulled up, and his buttons aren't correct, he's got dirt on his face, he walks up to the mirror and walks away. What was the purpose of the mirror then? Why'd you even stop and look at yourself? You didn't do a thing after you... You realize how messed your hair's messed up, the dirt on your face, your shirt's a cow. What was the point of looking in the mirror? This is what it looks like to an outside observer. You come and you hear God's word, you come to Bible study, you read God's word, and there's no change. Imagine if you did that when you heard the gospel. You wouldn't be saved. There would be no correction, no change, no transformation, no new birth, no regeneration, no sanctification. There'd be none of that. You'd be saying, I just forgot the whole thing. What did that guy say about Jesus? I didn't really catch that because we weren't really listening. Because you weren't a careful listener. You weren't a careful listener. God's people are careful listeners. They're careful listeners. You need to be a careful listener. Let me just make a little commercial. Because when somebody says something contrary to the Word of God, you should be able to say, that's not right. You need to know enough of the Word of God to be identify error. The only way you can identify error is know what truth is. Well, one more verse. Verse 25. Let me read that for you. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. I told you there's a blessing in there. Here you have the promise, blessing of the one doing God's word. There's a promise there. The one who does God's word will be blessed. The one who is a humble seeker will be blessed because he's a careful listener. Notice, here's a picture of him. He is bent over. It says he looks intently at the perfect law of liberty. A picture of somebody bent over, leaning over, looking, maybe putting on his glasses so I can read better, and looking and reading it over. He's bent over, a picture of humility. He remains. He's seeking truth. He's looking intently. He's a humble seeker. He knows he needs instruction. He's looking. I need help. What do I do in this situation? He stays seeking instruction. He doesn't quit till he finds the instruction he needs. He looks intently. The doer knows he needs help. The doer knows he has not arrived. And because he's not arrived, he's humbled by that fact. And he just keeps seeking. Point number two, he's also a hopeful student. He's a hopeful student. The hopeful student is a concerned learner of the Word of God. He seeks opportunity to use what he has learned. He is concerned to learn God's Word. He recalls to himself and others what he's learned. He's looked intently at it, and it says, then he abides by it. He looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, which is the Word of God, and abides by it. Now he is a student of it. He's trying to apply it to his life. He's a doer, and he's also trying to teach what he knows to others. He knows what he has learned is important. He's a learner. He's a student of God's word. In a word, he's a disciple. The doer has great potential because he's always learning. He's always learning. He is a hopeful student. There's hope for a person like that. His hope that he's going to learn more and more and more and more because he's a concerned learner. He wants to learn. Also, the text says he is a happy servant. This would be point number three. A happy servant is a consecrated life because of the Word of God. A happy servant is consecrated because of the Word of God. It says, this man shall be blessed in what he does. In other words, his life is blessed. His life is blessed. Actually, the blessing comes during the doing and not so much after the doing. The blessing comes doing, not so much after. The blessing, there is after the testing comes a blessing, but there's also blessing doing God's word and applying it. Actually, the Greek reads, but a doer of the work. Our text says effectual doer. This is a consecrated life of doing will be blessed with God. The person who's always engaged in it, Lord, I'm trying to apply your word to outward trials. I'm trying to apply your word to inward temptations. I'm trying to be quick to hear what you're saying, trying to get the noise out of my head. Even if it contradicts what I've always believed, there's some bad baggage in my lifestyle, and I'm trying to apply what you've said. That person is a humble seeker who is a careful listener, but he's also a hopeful student, and he's concerned about learning, but he's also a happy servant with a life that is blessed. He knows he has a master he's working for. That's what it says there. Not becoming a forgetful hearer, but effectual doer. Actually, it could be the doer of the work. This man should be blessed in what he does. He knows it is not always going to be easy. It's work. It's discipline. He knows it's going to take discipline to serve well. Listen, doers are always happy because they know their proper place is serving Christ. They know their proper place. My proper place is serving the Lord. And so I'm happy to do that. That's my privilege. That's a blessing. So I want to hear what my master says so I can obey what he says and apply what he says so I'll be blessed by what he says. He knows his proper place is serving Christ. The promised blessing is right here in James 1:25. This man shall be blessed, shall be happy, in other words, in what he does, because he knows he's doing what the Word of God says. There are other blessings recorded in Scripture for those who are quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, laying aside sin, humbly receiving God's Word, then doing what God's Word says, because that's a living faith. That's a life, that's a consecrated life that will be blessed. God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." A promised blessing. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he be like a tree planted forth by the rivers of water, that bring forth fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatever he doeth shall prosper." Psalm 1. Proverbs 16:20 says, "He who gives attention to the word will find good, and blessed is he who trusts in the Lord." Right? What a promise. Well, let me just kind of conclude. Is the Word of God important to you? Has it had a powerful effect in your life? What is your attitude and reaction when you hear or read God's Word? Have you experienced the blessing of applying God's Word to your life? Can you say that the Word of God is living and active, ruling your thoughts and intentions of your heart, as Hebrews says? Jesus said, if you continue in John 8:31, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." And verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." True disciples of Christ continue in Christ's words, and they are set free, they are liberated. Just some concluding thoughts. There's only one thing that God the Father blesses. Everything else stems from this. God has promised faith in and love for his son Jesus Christ. He has promised faith in and love for his son Jesus Christ. Everything else stems from that. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you'll do what? You can keep my commandments." Well, you can't know what his commandments are if you don't read the Bible and then they tell you, right? This is discipleship making. "Go therefore and make disciples, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you," right? Where do we get that information from? We get that information from the Word of God. The Word of God tells us how to do just that. Does James 19:25 describe you as a humble seeker who carefully listens to God's Word, or a proud, self-deceived person concerning God's Word? Does James 1:19 describe you as the people of God's Word as a hopeful student who is a concerned learner of God's Word, not a hopeless know-it-all concerning God's Word? Does James 19:25 describe you as a happy servant because your life is consecrated because of the Word of God, and not an angry sinner concerning God's Word? Amen. We need to search our hearts and see what the Lord says about that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your holy word this morning. It is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It does sanctify us. It does expose our light with the light of the gospel, the light of your truth. You're so good to us, Father, to show us ourselves in light of your holy word so that we can make the correction. We can come to it like a mirror and let it expose the faults, the areas that need to be cleaned up. Lord, help us to be humble in that area and realize that we have not arrived. May there be hope for us as we are continual learners from your word, and help us to apply so that we will be blessed and have this joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that it has had an impression upon your people, because I know your people love your word. They want to hear your word. May it now have that effect upon them. Now the sermon begins, and may they apply what they've heard this morning. We need your grace to do that. And so we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.